Kötü kalp. Şeydi.
All right, let's learn. The she'er should be a schus or four shlemim for a beautiful little baby that needs a Yeshua, ben Yom Yeshua, ben Nechama, Queen of the Shavuot, four shlemim for Sashar Chol Yisrael. I also want to thank the Chevra and Meridian and Jeff Weinberg and Ralph Hertzke, the rest of the Chevra, all the years with the Shiurim. We should continue on Yerushalayim. We're on page Resh Ches Tzadik in this edition. I'm not sure exactly where in the other.
Resh Ayin Ches.
Resh Ayin Ches. Okay, Shkai. Resh Ayin Ches. We just began last week to talk about the part that Vidui needs to play in his Baidus. We all know what the word means, but what we were discussing last week is the Chiddush, as explained from that Beis HaMedrash of Breslov, the Tzaddikim from Breslov, that when Rabbi Nachman revealed this sentence that we were talking about last week, that the ikachuvas kshayishma biz yaina yidam viyishtav, the ikachuvas for a person to undergo biz yainas, to be humiliated and to accept it, to be silent and not to answer back. So we were talking about that last week, that the tzaddikim explained that Rabbi Nachman was talking about a particular type of an avodas Hashem, not to sit back and wait until somebody insults you. That's not an avoda. Things like that happen, they don't happen. But rather, what we were learning last week is that when a person is misvad, that when a person comes to his bodhis, and he says vidui to Hashem, he confesses, he admits his mistakes that he's made, that he feel in a real way, that he feels the real, they should feel the real pain and embarrassment within himself. It's not a matter of somebody else assaulting you. Most of the things that we do that we shouldn't be doing, other people don't even know about. Sometimes they know, mostly they don't know about. It's hearing oneself. It's feeling that embarrassment, sitting alone with the Kadosh Baruch Hu by his bodhis and feeling that within yourself. And being silent doesn't mean you're not arguing, you're not fighting. It means that you're not rationalizing. We usually do that. We rationalize, right? The second that we go to someplace negative about ourselves, within ourselves, so then there's this mechanism that goes off that right away says, yeah, but you know, a lot of people worse than that. Or, you know, you're doing a lot better than you used to, and whatever. There are lots and lots of ways to rationalize. But Rabbi Nachman says, Yidam v'yishtok. You're silent. You accept your own, you accept the bitterness of that truth about yourself. Again, there's all within the context of the Kudus Taivis and all the Avoda, it's positive and it's very upbeat. But in order to tshuva and to change our lives, we have to be honest. That was the chapter before the parak about emes, and that means that the vidui dvarim, the words that we say to Hashem in his bodhis of confession, have to be such that within ourselves we feel embarrassed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not other people, and we don't try to rationalize or to justify. At the same time, we did learn about in the last parak, or the parak before the last parak, that not justifying or rationalizing, but certainly one should be melamed zchus and to see the nekudas taivus and all of one's faults and shortcomings and sins, averus. That's all part of the avodah. But to be honest and to feel the pain of having made those mistakes. So on page Resh Ches Tzadik, or whatever the other one was, Reish something else. Hini b'Tor Lamed Kosef Rabbeinu. In Torah Lamed, Rabbi Nachman writes, "She'ikar tshuva yelaveus she'enim yiduim." But the main tshuva is for the is to do tshuva for the averus that we don't know of. Now you might recall in the davening of Yom Kippur, we do daven about yiduim lanu v'enim yiduim lanu, right? Those that are known to us, those that we have perhaps forgotten over time. So there are many places in davening that we're familiar with such a thing. But on a deeper level, what does it mean? Besides saying, like we do on Yom Kippur, besides saying, I know there must be things that I've forgotten about, I hope you forgive me for that too, I don't remember. Is there something deeper than that? What is the meaning of enim yiduim? So let's learn. It's odd. Shari Bazar Kaddish. The Zohar compares vidui to checking for chametz, and everybody knows that the halacha by chametz is boidig ad mokum shiyada magatz. Unlike what many people think, you don't have to pull away appliances, and you don't have to go to places where you never ever take chametz. If you never bring chametz into the attic, we're not worried these days about mice running around with pieces of chametz. And you don't, if you never go into the garage with chametz, you don't have to start taking it apart. The din is that you're boidek, you check for chametz, ad mokum shi'ad ha-magas, wherever you can reach. And there might be some chashash of chametz, that's what you check. Bashar, and the rest, mevatla v'libo. The rest, when it comes to chametz, you say, kol chamir. As you nullify it by b'dikas chametz, not by beer chametz, you nullify the chametz. You let go of it. It's ownerless. Afridar, like the dust of the earth. And the Zohar makes a comparison between looking for the chametz in your house and looking for the chametz in your heart. The Zohar makes that comparison. You know, looking for the chametz within yourself. We all know that the Radbaz says that chametz, even in pshat, is the etzar. You don't have to like be a whole, you don't have to be a whole fancy drasha. It's this search for chametz is very clearly, I mean, we have to find the chametz, but it's clearly a search for chametz within ourselves as well. And when it comes to searching for the chametz, we don't have to go looking for chametz sheni yadua. In other words, I don't have to look for chametz. If I don't think there's any chametz in this place, or I never put any chametz there, I don't have to go there. There's no mitzvah like that. Bilu Rabbeinu Kosef she'ikra tshuva hi al she'enim yiduim. But Rabbi Nachman says, when it comes to tshuva, when it comes to chametz of the heart, vidui and tshuva, then we have to say vidui even for those things she'enim yiduim that are unknown. The noise of lakach. In addition to that, other than saying some broad general statement, like we do make in Yom Kippur, some broad general thing, like, if I've forgotten something, you know, sorry. Other than that, what does it mean to do tshuva something that you don't know? What does that mean? What does it mean? How can you really do tshuva on something you don't know? The pshat of Rabbi Nachman is saying is that tshuva is not just, this really the Rambam tells us, we'll see in a minute, tshuva is not just to correct some poor behavior. The act itself, to stop doing it, that's not the full extent of tshuva. The ikker, like when we say, what's the difference between tshuva and tshuva shleim? We do full tshuva. There are different parts of tshuva, tshuva shleima. So there's a difference between, you know, the swarm have a marshal, like let's say there's you're having in the house. Every now and then, there's another problem that there's a the wall, there's a leak over here. This one, the ceiling falls down. And over here, the water comes up. So there are two ways that you could deal with it. There's the less expensive, right? Which is to just get a guy in to do a little, to smear a little bit and to, you know, fix up a little bit. That's a very popular way to do things. To just put on something, to smear a little something, and then for the next snow, with the next major rain, it'll be okay. And then you have the pipe and you have electricity. At some point, a person who is intelligent will surrender and will say, okay, the house is just a mess. And we need to rip down the walls. We need to get to the problem with the roof. There's a problem with the foundation. There are problems. It's much more expensive. And it's much harder. That's called tshuva shleim. You could do the same thing. Then as you're doing something, there's a certain behavior that you shouldn't be doing. Like, for instance, the example that we always talk about is when it comes to lashon hara. Lashon hara was one of the more popular aveiros in the world. And it's a difficult thing to fix. So you could just work on the halachas of lashon hara, and, you know, smear and plaster and whatever, paint some of the aveiros with. Now you're learning the halachas, and you're on the 40-day Chafetz Chaim magical mystery tour, you know, or these whatever program you belong to. And you do that program, and you learn the halachas, and you have your karusa, and you have your checks, and you give yourself all your incentives, and so on and so on. So we had a guy in yeshiva that was like that. I mentioned this a few times over the years when I was first year in Eretz Yisrael. We had a guy in yeshiva that was like that, and you could barely talk to him. He was from South Africa or England. I don't know. Sounds the same to me. And I don't mean to insult any of Eretz and things like that. So he was from another place where they speak English. And he, you couldn't talk in the presence of this guy because he was walking around with his Shemir Zalashin, and he would open up and say, you know what you just did, Zadaraisa. Like, you couldn't talk about anything. I can't talk about the Mets and the Yankees. You can't talk about anything. So we weren't allowed to talk with this guy. And then we had a Pesach break. In those years, nobody went back to America. We just stayed in Eretz Yisrael. But we didn't see each other. We were in different places. And after Pesach, the guy comes back. First day in yeshiva, we're sitting at lunch. He was a great guy. First day at lunch, he says, not just like a Dirabon and a Vak, he says like a Prost Fleischige Lashon Hara. Like a real, you know, with fat, a real Fleischige piece of Lashon Hara. So everybody at the table, all the guys, we just, it's like Mr. Chavetz Chaim, you know, we all just looked at him. And he said, he was embarrassed a little bit. We didn't say anything, we just went, and he said, now this year, this month I'm working on Kaas. That was last month. I worked on Lashon Hara. Now I'm working on Kaas. So you understand, this was not a work on the foundation of the building. The question that you have to ask yourself is, why do you enjoy speaking Lashon Hara? Why do you have things to say about other people? Why do you look at people in such a negative way, in such a nasty way? Or if you're not saying Lashon Hara, you're a bit more into Rechilas, why do you have this need to always talk about other people or send messages about other people? Why? What's the shortage of that? Why do you have other people on your mind like that? Why do you feel the need to say things about other people? Now we're already talking about something else. We're digging deeper to get to the shorish. So it's not tshuva shleima doesn't just mean I stopped doing something I shouldn't have done. Because all of us know that could pop up after Yom Kippur relatively fast. It's back. It never really went away. Because you didn't get to the bottom of it. You never got to the shorish, never got to the root of the problem. I have an iron raw. I say bad things about people because I have an iron raw. I'm a negative person. I have parts of me that are pretty nasty. We don't want to say that. So it's better to just say, no, I was over on this if in the Shemir Zalashim. I was over on this halacha, and I have to stop being over in this halacha because the Chafetz Chaim says it's against the Torah. As opposed to saying to yourself, you know, you're pretty nasty. It's much easier to learn the whole Shemir Zalashim than to admit that you're nasty. Like, why do you see people in such a way? Like, why aren't you being down the cuffs with us? And everybody knows that on a deep level, being down the cuffs with us doesn't mean, like we have spoken about a thousand times, doesn't mean making up some ridiculous story about why the person did that. I mean, he's looking at the person in a better way. In a better way. In a different way. Doesn't mean to make up a story, oh, Mistama must be. And we all know most of the stories are ridiculous. The person actually did that thing. They're guilty. Most of the time, it's a ridiculous story. And we were taught, usually when we were in school, I was taught, you have to try to think of all these ridiculous stories with dispute. No, I know this guy. He does this stuff all the time. It's not because he was in a, he had a fight with his wife and he came in. Mistami, probably he doesn't know that you can't drive on Shabbos. Of these stories. No, the guy knows the Shabbos. He knows you can't drive on Shabbos. There's not a bit of a Maisa. The guy knows the Shabbos and you can't drive on Shabbos. The Torah says, being down the Kavshchus doesn't mean coming up with a cockamamie story that you don't even believe in. You're the same nasty, negative person. That you can't look at this person in a whole way and come to the conclusion that maybe he just doesn't, for different reasons, he doesn't have really got Shabbos. Maybe it wasn't given to him the right way. He doesn't appreciate it. Maybe he doesn't have a Simchat Shabbos. He doesn't feel connected, whatever it is. It's not, Mastami, you forgot the Shabbos. Right? Different way of looking at things. So you try to get to the bottom of something. So if you have a negative way of looking at people, so it doesn't make a difference how many stories you make to be down the cuffs. If you at some look at people in a negative way, you'll get to them eventually. A week after you get a day after you'll get back to the regular program. Unless you change something internally. And you really do something that's much deeper. That's called tshuva shleima. That's called real tshuva shleima. Not to say that any work that we do is not important. It's always good. But tshuva shleima is something else. So that's what he explains. It's not just al ha'maisa m'roim sh'osa, al ha'gam u'b'ikar al ha'sharoshim. What led to this behavior? To try to understand, and these things are often not known. You might have to sometimes sit with a therapist for a couple of months to get to the bottom of it. Like, what? Why am I doing this? Or somebody else that could help you. But why is it that I? Why do I look at people? Why? What pleasure do I get by seeing people in a negative way? What pleasure is this? Like, why do I need that pleasure? What need is being satisfied in me by talking about other people? That's really a conversation. That's really something that takes time. Yeah, there's a service to that. And very often, the same way when you look at a plant, you don't see the root. You don't see the root of that negative behavior. So if all you're addressing is the problem with the flower or the weed, not the flower, but the weed, but you're not getting to the root of the weed. And when I was younger, we didn't have a gardener. My father was and myself, we were the gardeners. And we didn't have even an electric lawnmower. I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember. The kind of thing you had to push, it had a blade, and you had to push it hard. So when it came time to get rid of weeds, my way was just to be happy with the lawnmower cutting them. Because then you don't see the weeds anymore, right? And my father would always come over here. So what did you do over here? I said, we're weed free. My father said, oh, no, we're not. You just cut off the top of them. So the weeds are. And then he says, I already showed you. And you have to dig a little bit and pull them out. You get a whole monster underneath the ground, right? It's the same thing with the things that we do that are wrong. You could either go with a lawnmower and make believe that it's okay, you did tshuva, and you feel good, and you sit in the sukkah, it's mechayim and tzaddik, or you get involved in tshuva shleima. And what we're going to learn is that the likelihood of you getting to the actual roots, if you only say vidui once a year on Yom Kippur, or maybe if you're davening in Sfarad, you say more, but the likelihood of getting to then just becomes part of that. But the likelihood of getting to the roots without meeting up with Hashem every day and talking about issues, it's very, very small percentage of the possibility of getting to the roots. Because you have, if you're a Yom Kippur person, and that's your vidui, so then it's a busy day. It's very hard to get to the root of things. It's mostly trying to just apologize and make good on some promises and so on. But to uproot, that takes time. That's hard work. And when you're in vidui and you do that twice a week, three times a week, you don't just meet up with Hashem every now and then. It's a very personal and honest search for weeds. That's something different. That's very, very different than just once a year. So that's what he explains. Where did these weeds, the rotten fruit, where did it come from? It came from roots. The averus came from roots. Asherashim hem amidas. And the roots, of course, are amidas. It's not just what we did, is why. That has to do with personality. That has to do with midas. Kaychas ha-nefesh, ha-tumunim v'ne'elam v'ba'odam. Those are the kaychas ha-nefesh. Our midas are something we don't see with our eyes, just our behavior. But the midas and the kaychas ha-nefesh, those are hidden from us. Especially if you're not looking around for them. There's not going to be like any big signs or, you know, arrows pointing or something like that. So if you're not looking for these weeds, I mean, for the roots, if you're not looking for them, you're not going to find them. And you just keep on going. Day after year, you're yelling at people, doing things that, and doing all kinds of affairs that are coming from those midas, ben al malkum, ben al chaveru. Like also, a person doesn't go to daven. So, you come late every day to daven, or every Shabbos you come late to daven. So you could try to. I admit to you, Hashem, that I've been late to davening, and now I'm going to work on coming on time. Yeah, that's not. Maybe sometimes, a couple of days, a couple of Shabbos, but unless you talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about this really seriously, day after day, like, what's up with me? Why is it that davening is not important enough to me that I will prefer 15 minutes after a whole night of sleeping, another 15 minutes, or I'll just sit around in the kitchen doing nothing, hanging around, only not to be in shul before Shachanat? Why? What is it? What's wrong? Don't just make a promise. I'm going to try to be better. I'm going to try to go to shul on time. It's not the shayrish. It's something much deeper than that. Why is it that you don't like going to shul? Or what is it that you find uncomfortable being there early? What does that mean about you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your relationship with Hashem? What does that mean about your laziness? Because you might just say, it's hard for me. It's hard for you. You're 30 years old. It's hard for you to get up in the morning. What's the matter? What's wrong with that? Why is it hard for you to get up in the morning? I'm not talking about the one time you went to bed, you have to go to bed, it was 2 o'clock. No, you went to bed, so why is it hard for you to get up? It's not hard for you to get up for other stuff. Why is it that for diving is hard for you to get up? So don't just say, I'm going to try to be on time and shul. I'm saying vidu, I'm apologizing for this past year. There were many times that I was late to shul. Please be mindful of me for that. I sinned because I didn't come to shul on time. And that's it. Are you done? No. That's not such a big deal. It's the shayrish. And the shayrish is something which is any adua. Offhand, you don't know it right away. You might have some more self-awareness, and you have a sense of why that might be, that you've thought about it in the past, but you have to work on it. Because if you don't try to get to the roots and to fix them, the sharish v'la'akar as isam shavashim, to pull out these roots, you'll come back and do the aver again. Because the same taiva, you never really worked on the taiva. You just worked on the symptoms or the sickness, but you never really worked on the shirish of why is it that you have this problem, what's wrong. So you can go to 1,000 conferences and You can go to not just to Met Stadium or whatever they have. You can go to a stadium that has 10 million people, and they're going to be 1,000 speeches about the evil of this, and then all kinds of technicians there showing you the latest filters and so on and so forth. But I don't think anybody honest would say that after all of the rallies that we've had, that the taiva is less for that aveira. Because those rallies don't address the taiva. They just address the symptoms, not the sickness. What's the sickness? To address the sickness, why is it that young men are acting out so much? Why is it that there's such an obsession with things that are not so nice to look at and watch? Don't just figure out ways to cut the grass or the weeds. We're going to give you a new way to cut. Why is it that this person is, what's wrong with him? What's the problem that he has this such crazy titles? That he has these kinds of thoughts and he's acting out. What's the cause of this? That's already something else. That's already Shari Osa Mida Ataira Rosha Isaba Dainish are Tumunuchavuyab. Because if you haven't uprooted the weed, that means that the roots are still there and it's gonna grow back. You never really addressed the inyan itself, just what was surfacing the thing. Or what's the inyan itself? According to Shkosabi Rambam, Shatzarach lo shuv mi deos o mi dos rose. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that you don't just do tshuva, it's not just about doing tshuva for the bad things that you did. It's doing tshuva for your wrong way of thinking and your poor midas. Because those are the roots of the poor behavior. The behavior didn't just grow from, it's not a mushroom, it has roots. So why are you doing that? But you have to be a very, very honest person to want to know that. To try to really want to know what's the cause of this. Kaz, anger, eva, hatred, kinna, jealousy, leitzonis, the deepest moment for COVID, running after money, running after COVID, taivas achila, the need to overeat. So a person has to ask himself, even when it comes to something like that, like eating, why do you eat so much? Instead, you have a new scale, and you go to a dietitian or a nutritionist, whatever, and you get this new diet. And you do everything that alpidin, what a person's on a diet is supposed to do. And it could work for a while. But if you didn't get to the shirish of it, why is it that you eat so much? And people don't want to ask these questions. They're uncomfortable questions. Why do you fresh like that? Why do you feel this? What does that do? What is that pleasure of eating? What does that do for you that you have this pleasure that, so you can make up, you could sign up for all of the diets in the world and you have all the latest diets and you have exercise, you have all the things you're supposed to do. But if you haven't gotten to the inyan of taivas achila, so then it's going to come back. It usually does. Just comes back because you haven't really addressed the issue. Sometimes you have certain diets that do try to address deeper issues. I'm not so familiar with all these books and stuff, but there are that try to get more to the bottom of the issue. But otherwise, it's going to come back. Because of Elo Avinus Kosher Meis and Sheish Behemais, and the Rambam writes that these hidden problems are much harder to correct than the obvious and very easily seen behaviors. The deeper problems, the problems behind the roots are much harder to change. Because when you sink into these ways of thinking, these midas, it's very, very hard to get out of them. It's not so hard to modify one's behavior, at least for a limited period of time. It's not so hard. If there are enough incentives, positive and negative, you could do that. The same way you could do with a kid. You can get the kid to do the homework or to brush his teeth or something. But it's not the shirish. To get to the shirish is much harder. It's not just to give a prize, to give yourself a prize, but to punish yourself. It's much harder. The Rambam says, he brings the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that there are two things. Yazav Rosha Darko, the Rosha has to go away from his derech, his way of life. But v'ish oven machshav isav, but it says the wickedness of his way of thinking. So the Pasuk says there are two things. There's the derech, there's the messed up path of your life, meaning the things that you could see that you're doing that are wrong. That doesn't take that much to recognize. But then you have ish oven machshav isav. Ish oven machshav isav. There's something crooked. There's something essentially wrong with your way of thinking. So the Gemara talks about, and the Rambam talks about, and there are some very beautiful pieces in the Halachu from Rabbi Yashabir, from Rav Soloveitchik about this also, what we're discussing now. This is not just Rabbi Nachman. This is all the Tzaddikim talk about this. Like when the Gemara says, how do you know when the gambler has done shuv? So the Gemara says it's when he's taken his the pieces of the game, the chips, whatever, and he throws them into the ocean. Nobody puts them in this closet. You understand? It's not because he hasn't really uprooted the problem. That's why he keeps it there just for a rainy day, for knowing in, deep inside of himself that already now that he's going to come back to it. So to take those things in life that we know are not good for us and to trash them, to get rid of them, to throw them out, that's hard. And that's hard when it comes to things. It's so much, much harder when it comes to behavior, when it comes to personality traits, things that we've gotten used to. You get used to blaming other people. You grow up like that, blaming your parents, blaming other people. It's very hard to take responsibility. It's more high.
You don't throw away the light. The type is still there. It's still there.
Correct.
It's solved.
Right. That doesn't solve, right? Throwing away the chips, it's only a simmon of moving on to a higher level of disengagement. But ultimately, it doesn't mean that you've necessarily corrected the taiva. You might just go to your friend's house and play on his board, right? So, and there, you know, everybody's familiar with these kind of things, the weird things that we do. But a person has a taiva, so, of course, you have to get to the much deeper, what's going on. And that's the world that you can't see. You have to really work very hard to know what that is. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak on the bottom of the page over here. I have to leave a little early today, so like by quarter to. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak al Bashan Pirishes a Musak Averish Enim Yiduin. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak explains Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender, not the Bedich, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender explains the meaning of Averish Enim Yiduin. And he says the following. Adam sheshav b'tshuva pam or kama pam b'shana. This is what I was talking about before. A person who makes a cheshvan and efes and does tshuva a couple of times of the year, besides Yom Kippur, other couple of times that he thinks about that, you know, he tries to do tshuva. L'yachaluska is kol mashaser. I believe he says something very simple. If you only say vidui and do tshuva a couple of times of the year, you forget. A lot of things that took place in between. Yom Kippur Zad, Yom Kippur Haba, there are a lot of things that happen that you don't remember. You might remember some of the more major stuff, but a lot of the other things you don't remember. He says it very simply. There's a lot that you forget. Because it's already a long time since this happened. Especially when it comes to things that you might have said to somebody to hurt someone's feelings. If you don't think about it, the likelihood of remembering it 2 weeks or 3 weeks is very little. Besides forgetting, there's a natural there's a natural need to dull the heart's memory. When it comes to something that we've done that's not good, we naturally try to cover it up. You don't want to think about it. So it's not just a matter of forgetting. It's you want to forget about it. I don't want to think about this. I want to forget this. And when the heart is dull, then what happens? That these poor behaviors, they just become habits. Then you just ignore them. There are many, many things in life that are not good, but you become so used to them because you just have a way of hiding and dulling the heart from feeling this. So you don't even pay attention. You don't even notice anymore how many important things in life you've crushed, you've stepped upon, you ignore. You've just become part of your life, like a person that screams says, and he said, "What are you screaming?" He says, that's what I do. I scream. Or some sort of a screaming group that you belong to. What do you mean that's what you do? If it's wrong, then what are you doing it for? You haven't thought about it once in your life that maybe it's wrong. And even if you have thought about it, the feeling is, I'm a screamer, the son of a screamer, the grandson of screamers, and that's what I do. And so, it's the end of the story. You just continue on the rest of your life screaming. It's a heracle. Therefore, like the chametz, you have to reach back into your memory to try to find, like you look for the chametz, wherever you might have put chametz, you have to reach back into your memory as far as you can. Just like when you're looking for chametz, you have to go where the hand can reach. You don't have to go beyond where the hand can reach, but you have to go where the hand can reach. So too, you reach back in your memory to try to gather together the pieces of chametz that you could remember. In terms of your avarice. But there could be lots more stuff. You just don't remember it. That's not complete tshuva. Here's where his bodhus comes in. Only a person who's in the habit of yom yom on a regular basis, either every day or every couple of days, he sits for shofar libo of Hashem, he pours his heart out to Hashem. According to all that we've been learning until now. I'll call myself, and he says vidui, not just once in a while. He still feels the regret and the remorse because it's still sharp. It was just yesterday, it was this morning that he did this. He still feels it. He's able to study it, to analyze it. He's able to feel the embarrassment, the humiliation that we were talking about. As oimek ha-ke'ev, the depth of the pain. He just did this aveir. It's not just saying in a general way. Because he has to say specifically what is it. And since this happened just today, I remember what it was. And I remember it in all the details of what it was. Just as in parentheses, and when it comes to things that a person, God forbid, does in yonim of men and women, of when it comes to this type of sexuality, then of course it's better not to itemize so specifically, because then you start to think about it. The nature of a person is when he starts to go into these aveiras. Like I told you about that friend of mine that back when we were kids, they came out with that first Vidui booklet, like extra, you know, with the English and all kinds of extra features of bad things that you did. Well, you know, there was more stuff there. So there's a friend of mine that said, I'll tell you the truth, there's some stuff here I never even thought of. Like, you know, I'm seriously considering some of these areas. I never thought of them. And he was joking, but like it wasn't such a joke. You know what I mean? He was saying, like, so that's why there were certain people that either go fast. But the Indian of going fast with Vidus, when it comes to these things where it's not so good to concentrate and to go into the whole story, because if you start going through the whole story, then it becomes, you know, first it's black and white, and it's in color, and then you're playing the rerun, and the rerun first it was just a clip, and now it's already half hour. You know, these things have a way of growing on you, and the weeds are all over the place before you know it. So the tzaddikim say when it comes to these avarice in particular, when it comes to this Indian of men and women of Kule. So with these things, it's better just to open clearly, more general, and to do move. But to be honest about it, but not to go into all the pratim and pratim. When they say Yisuk Karabahem, maybe it's Adam Lahagoshish and Ruim Vidalim Abram. Just spending too much time on these things, even confessing them, to take you to bad places. Let me understand. Now, what happens when a person's doing this, it's not just twice a year. When he lives a life of his bardus and cheshvan and nefesh and vidui, then Hashem is magalatim oivay dvarim shenamidu. He begins to recognize and to remember more of the things that need to be fixed. And then you could fix them. You could be a much better person, much better Jew. He's able to feel more the pain and the embarrassment within himself, not other people. And he's able to think about it and to understand, and think about it, and to try to understand more, like, why did this happen today? Like, what triggered this? What set this off? Because it just happened. Could be he did something not only it's inappropriate, it could be he did something it's also, which otherwise you would forget about, you wouldn't admit to yourself. When a person lives this way, where he's avoided this, the Kudus Toivus, Emes, Vidui, all on a regular basis. He'll be able to remember, to take note. Until that time, there were Einim Yidum. Because he didn't want to go there, or you didn't remember. And this is what David HaMelech was alluding to in Tehillim, Mem Tes, when he said, "Lama ira bimeira, ovain akevait isubeni." Ki yori mehavain shodim dash ba'akov. And as I'm afraid, you know why I'm afraid of bimeira, and as I'm afraid of getting punished. And not because of the bigger veirs that are very obvious, but the ones that are wrapped around my heel. Oven akeva yisubeni, which means the ones that I've just stepped on, I don't pay attention to. They're wrapped around my heel. I don't look at. That's what I'm afraid. You know, some saliba shadam kiyari me avenu shadam dosh ba'akova, the ones that you're stepping on, and you don't even think about it anymore. They're enim yidum. They've gone to that category of enim yidum, but you don't know them, and therefore you keep on doing them. You don't pay attention, you don't think of it at all. You don't pay attention to it at all. And if you don't pay attention, as I am itstabrim khalil, then they accumulate more and more. It says in Yeshaya, means the sins are like a thick rope, like they used to pull wagons or carts, a very fat rope. There are various, now that fat rope is made of a lot of skinny strings, right? That's how you make a rope. So my averis are like, each one when they happen, it was like a skinny little string. But over time, it became really like a fat rope. In the beginning, it's weak, which means it's like a thin, like a thread. But over time, you just don't pay attention, and they become part of your life. And these threads, these strings, all get together, and then you add shehem chazakim to keep them kaveis hagol. You have a whole thick cord, a rope. Like they used to pull the wagon, so they still do, I guess. Means to do tshuva, to look to see what led to this, the smaller, the midas, the inyan behind it. And to try to do tshuva for those things that were nelom, that were hidden. Next of Kodim Shoshaba Tshuva, that's called Tshuva Shleim. When Shehif the Gazar Kodesh, as it says in the Zohar, Milas Mari the Chushman, there are people that the Zohar praises, that they're called Mari the Chushman. These are masters of Cheshman and Nefesh. Masters meaning that they're always making a Cheshman and Nefesh. They don't just make once or twice a year, they make a Cheshman and Nefesh on a regular basis. Ela Shavim Lashem B'chol Yom, they do tshuva every day. Mar de Chushmana. They do tshuva every day. Kikachi atshuva aru, like you have in Kriyash Malamita, there's a tshuva. And then if you look in the Nusach of the Arizal, there's a whole tshuva to do over there. There's not. There's no shamnu, and there's a whole vidui over there. Do tshuva regularly. And shnei perushim tshuvu kan lefarish divrei Rabbeinu Haimemes, and both of these explanations are true. Rabbeinu's elu elu divrei Kimchaim. They're both true. What we learned in the deep meaning of what does it mean? Enemy yidum. Mr. Shem, also next week we hope to be in Eretz Yisrael next Shabbos. Mr. Shem. So Mr. Shem, so we'll continue. We'll continue later on. Mr. Shem. Okay, everybody.
I don't see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Shalom.